So many companies delivered by TriStar Moving 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to Superbook Sports, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Super Bowl 57 Radio Row presented by Social Furniture. Chad Withrow, Outkick 360 is here with us. Good to see you, Chad.
Good to see you, Jared. This is fun, man. We don't ever get the chance to do this one-on-one live. I'm either on a stream somewhere, on Zoom, or on my phone. So it's nice to be here with you in person.
It is nice to be here at the Super Bowl. So I've always talked about how I will watch the Titans, and then I'll watch the Super Bowl, and I'll either get really depressed because it'll be a year like last year where I'm like, oh, God, they could be here right now. Or I get really depressed because they're terrible, and I think, man, they are so far away from these two teams that are playing in the Super Bowl. I don't know what, like, how they're ever going to be able to compete with them. This year, I don't feel either way. I don't feel like the Titans deserve to be here, and I'm not jealous about that. And I don't feel like the Titans are miles and miles and miles away from being able to compete in this game. Do you believe that?
I think they're miles and miles away. But miles and miles away in the NFL, I mean, it wasn't that long ago the Eagles weren't any good, right? Miles and miles away can be, you can close that gap quickly in today's NFL. You know, the Giants were awful. They're supposed to be awful, and they're a playoff team this year and won a playoff game. So you can get good quick in this league. Flying over, I flew in with Clay Travis, and he asked me the question, if you had to put your life on an over-under for the Titans getting back to this game, how many years would you put on it? And it's hard to say that because of all the variables and the fact that, you know, they haven't been since their first year in the new stadium that they now call home back in 1999.
You mean the old stadium now?
Yeah, and it's going to be the old stadium soon. It was new then, it's old now, and it's about to be demolished. I said 6 or 7 years, and he thought I was crazy. He said, oh, it's going to be, you know, way longer than that. Look how it's long it's been in between now. I'm not that fatalistic about the Titans, you know, chances moving forward, because I do think you can get really good quickly. I mean, you know, Jalen Hurts was not a top pick at quarterback, and he's here in this game. And it's largely because he's playing on a rookie contract that's very team friendly, that allowed the Eagles to build up that roster all the way around him. So, look, I look at these two teams right now, and it's not like I'm looking at it the way you said, if it's the years where you're depressed because the team that you follow is so bad, and it's just the Titans are kind of stuck right now, right? They're okay. They're squarely in the middle of the pack, and while you can go up or down quickly in the NFL, I just don't see the route where it's going to go up really quickly, and they're going to be a team that can play for it all, even though they were the number one seed in the AFC a year ago.
Do you think that Ryan Tannehill returns as the quarterback, or has anything you've heard here this week make you think differently?
I think he returns as the quarterback, but I'm trying to think. We talked to so many people. I'm trying to think of who we interviewed that made me think a little bit about it. It doesn't feel like, Jared, after the move to get rid of A.J. Brown a year ago, that Rand Carthon is going to come in and make some huge move for quarterback in year one, following that up. Now, I could be wrong. We don't really know Rand Carthon or what his thoughts are or how he operates. If they, you know, traded up to get a quarterback that they wanted in the draft, would not shock me, but would be surprising. I think any move for an Aaron Rodgers, let's say, that would also surprise me. I don't know that I'd be shocked. I guess I say all that.
You wouldn't be shocked if you're sitting there on Outkick 360, you and Hutton are talking, and all of a sudden Adam Schefter tweets out, the Titans are sending their 2024 first round pick to the Packers in exchange for Aaron Rodgers. The Titans are flipping Ryan Tannehill to the Buccaneers in exchange for a 2023 fourth round pick.
I'd be thrilled. I don't know if shocked is the word. I'd be very excited about that possibility.
Shocked.
If that happened. I'd be surprised. Again, I don't know that I'd be completely shocked. I say all that to say that we knew a track record with John Robinson. He was at times, you could not expect what he was going to do, a la last year by trading away A.J. Brown. He was surprising at times, but I felt like I knew what he valued and how he went about his business. First time GM Rand Carthon, I have no clue. So I lay all that out to say nothing would shock me because I have no base level of expectation with Rand Carthon and what he wants to do. Now, in that opening press conference, and I think you were there for it, Jared, he was very staunch on Derrick Henry and a big fan of Derrick Henry and him being a part of this team. He wasn't as committed to Ryan Tannehill when answering the question. So, look, I believe that Ryan Tannehill will be the quarterback next year, but because the newness of Carthon, I wouldn't be shocked with anything.
Chad Withers with us, Outkick 360, presented by Two Rivers Ford. Are you down on the fact that Vrabel just promoted within at the offensive coordinator position?
Very down on it. Very, very down on it. And here's why. I'm giving credit right now to D'Amico Ryans as an example. He's interviewing Cliff Kingsbury. Has not hired him yet. I really like it when coaches, and it doesn't mean that it always works out, but I do like when coaches step out of their comfort zone and they have someone in mind that they admire their offense or their defense. And even though they haven't worked with them or don't have close friends that work with them, they want to go out and interview and hire those people. I think that shows a level of understanding, but also creativity that I value in a coach. This just screams of, I know Tim Kelly. I've worked with him. I like him. I know what to expect. I'm comfortable with him. And we're going to make this move now. I mean, there's no way to sell this to the fan base, right? Yes, they wanted Tim Kelly last year to take the place of Todd Downing, but only for the rest of that year to see what he could do because Todd Downing was so bad. So coming back now and, you know, interviewing different candidates, and then it felt like a fallback plan. I feel like they were going to hire Eric Bieniemy or wanted to, and maybe now Eric Bieniemy is going to be the Colts head coach. We had Tony Dungy on today, and he mentioned, I wouldn't be surprised if you haven't heard because someone coaching in this game is going to be their next coach, and they've got two guys that they've interviewed through all the rounds that are coaching in this game. So maybe Eric Bieniemy told them, I'm getting the Colts job. I'm not going to be your offensive coordinator. And the fallback plan for Mike Vrabel was always, well, then we'll hire Tim Kelly. It's just a very uninspiring move. It might work out, but to me, it's just uninspiring to promote Todd Downing's subordinate to be the offensive coordinator.
I thought the one that got me was the offensive line coach that he promoted, like the second assistant, not the first assistant offensive line coach, the second assistant offensive line coach to be the offensive line coach, and just acts like nobody's going to say, did you even think about looking for a line coach?
Well, and look, this is Mike Vrabel saying, I trust what I see all the time more than the unknown.
So I talked to somebody this week who said, and I can't say who told me this because they didn't tell me I could say this, but they said Vrabel is so hard on his coaches because he's got such a low, like such a high BS meter that Vrabel is constantly like asking coaches, why'd you do this? Why'd you do this? Why did you do that? And that it takes like a special person to be able to work with Vrabel. And so Vrabel has been, you know, has worked with so many people who he didn't like,
yeah,
that he only like, you know, I know this guy because I see him every day, as opposed to I interviewed this guy for 4 hours, and I think he doesn't trust the I interviewed the guy for 4 hours kind of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we talked to Hendon Hooker, who was interviewed by Mike Vrabel at the Senior Bowl, and Hendon Hooker said he gave me a firm handshake, and he said, you have the handshake of a defensive lineman and not a quarterback. And he said, with every question, he was almost staring through me on the answers. Like, it was a very, you know, different type of interview. And I've heard that about Mike Vrabel, that he's very intense when he's interviewing someone. And I think there's something too. You want someone that you know is going to get along with the staff and understand you and not have that unknown and not bring that into your locker room or whatever culture that you're building. I just think Nick Saban is the greatest coach, you know, in college football, right? Nick Saban doesn't get along with a lot of people and doesn't get along with a lot of coaches. Lance Thompson's a good example. I feel like Lance Thompson's left Alabama two or three times for worse jobs because he can't stand Nick Saban. Nick Saban always welcomes him back whenever it's time, right? Because he knows even if we have a personality conflict, this guy can recruit or this guy can coach or this guy can do it. I just hope Mike Vrabel's not hiring people or promoting people because he knows that they can tolerate him more than maybe someone else. That's not going to challenge you at all, and it's not going to make the franchise any better.
Do you think that Tim Kelly has a good enough resume to get this job?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's not great, but it, for an offensive coordinator hire in the NFL, I think it's a resume that you can stomach based on what he's done. This was an opportunity to me to get creative, to think a little bit outside the box. And I'm not talking about, thinking outside the box where Todd Downing's trying to throw the lateral in the middle of the game against
That
Jacksonville.
was outside the box.
I'm not talking about that necessarily, but step out of the comfort zone a little bit, do something different that could pay off huge. And they did the opposite.
Chad Withrow's with us, Outkick 360 here on the program. What Chad heard, Outkick 360, you guys had about 5 million people over the last 3 days.
Yeah.
What you heard from those, we'll get to that coming up. First, I want to tell you about Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. You know I love Hiller. They've been taking care of my home for years, and they can do the exact same for you. Kick off the new year with new upgrades for your home. This month, when you buy something you need for your home, Hiller will give you something you want. Pick your prize, like a free 55-inch TV, an Apple iPad, a Solo stove, or a Nintendo Switch when you purchase a new whole home generator or select new HVAC systems. Or get a free 55-inch TV, a Nintendo Switch, or a Solo stove when you upgrade to a new tankless water heater. There's no better time to take care of the necessary replacements for your home than right now, and to do it with my friends at Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. That's Hiller, proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face truck today. Stillman & Company live out of Radio Row here, presented by Social Furniture. Chad Withrow, Outkick 360, presented by Two Rivers Ford, as always with us. Okay, so Outkick 360, you guys had a bunch of people over the last 3 days. And so, I mean, I just kept seeing the lights over there go off with you guys, with all the people you had. So let's just get right to what were some of the most interesting things that you heard this week at Radio Row?
Yeah, a couple come to mind right away. We had Bruce Arians on, former Bucs head coach, who's now an advisor with the team. He was very open about, look, we like Kyle Trask. He's a good guy. We think highly of him. But, we really do need to be looking behind door number two and see what's behind that at that position. So we got to evaluate what the options are. I specifically mentioned Derek Carr, who had permission to meet with the Saints. I think Derek Carr's probably going to end up meeting with the entire NFC South.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he could just make the rounds and go from New Orleans over to Atlanta, down to Tampa, then up to Charlotte and meet with the entire division. So he would make sense and be an upgrade for any of those teams. That was interesting. Asked him about his relationship with Brady and if that was the cause of him stepping down when he did. Kind of laughed it off and said, I'm playing golf with Tom next week, so take that for what it's worth. Mm-hmm. We're fine. I've never had an issue with Tom. And today, we interviewed Nate Burleson of CBS This Morning and the CBS, NFL and CBS show. Super interesting dude. Jared, most ex-pro athletes, let's put it this way, they can get a reputation of not really wanting to work in our business when they're done playing sports.
Absolutely.
Because sports are, that's their passion.
And Burleson made a lot of money, too.
Right. Playing pro sports, though, that's their passion. That's what they always wanted to do. So when that's over, anything else is stepped down. They don't carry the same passion to their next job. They're not as reliable. They don't always show up. And they
like Tony Romo.
They don't work as hard. Yeah, like Tony Romo recently. Not early Tony Romo, but Tony Romo after the contract. Nate Burleson's the opposite. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wakes up at 4 a.m. every day to do a national morning, network news show. He said he marks the Tuesday after the Super Bowl as like the line of demarcation for his year getting easier after that when it's over because of all the NFL stuff he's doing as well. He says yes to about everything. Just really interesting talking about his process of decision making and how he just said yes to everything because he knew he could be good at it. He wanted to work at it. He'd study host when he was the analyst and how they spoke, how they conducted their job. So I'm a big fan of Nate Burleson after that interview today.
You brought up the idea, Chad Withers with us. You brought up that Tony Dungy was kind of hinting that Eric Bieniemy is going to be the next coach of the Colts. What'd you make of that?
Well, and I'm blanking on the guy's name now. Striken?
Oh, Shane Steichen.
Steichen. Thank you. Shane Steichen. So those are the two guys, I believe, that of the five that went through all three rounds, that reportedly went through all three rounds of the interview. So Tony Dungy, we asked him about Jim Irsay's year, and he did basically say that, not his best year. He was great with us, but he's a genuinely good guy, but, maybe he stepped into some things that he shouldn't have stepped into in his role this year, and that hurt the Colts. But he did kind of passing say, I wouldn't be shocked if, they're waiting because it's someone coaching in this game. And it was sort of a wink, wink. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm trying to put the dots together. I'm thinking, okay, Eric Bieniemy informed Mike Vrabel that he's getting the Colts job. So Mike Vrabel then hired the guy that was probably second on his list because he wanted to hire Eric Bieniemy. Just that's again, that's an educated guess on my part.
And you don't think Matt Nagy was a part of that?
I don't think so.
I have no idea what the Titans did. I mean, in all seriousness, I have no idea what the Titans, plan
Yeah,
was
no,
there. But I hear what you're saying.
I'm not saying that I have inside
Sure.
knowledge. I'm just trying to put the timetable together about what could have happened. But yeah, again, Eric Bieniemy could be the next Colts head coach. Tony Dungy did say, it could be, one of the guys coaching in this game, and those would be the two options that it would be. Tony Dungy was good. We asked him about his work on in NBC as well. But yeah, I think Titans fans need to look around the division right now, and you got to be excited about the Colts in flux and the fact that Jim Irsay is making way too many decisions for that team. And then with the Texans, I don't know D'Amico Ryans, never been a head coach, but everyone that knows him or has been around him and everyone that covers that team in Houston, the first thing that said what they said was, it feels like the Texans are an NFL franchise again for the first time in 3 years based on this move.
I talked to Tony Khan with the Jags. He's their chief football strategist. He's also running AEW, and he's also, and when I hear the word chief football or the title chief football strategist, he kept talking about analytics, this analytics, 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 analytics. Kept wanting to be like, so what do the analytics say about how your schedule is now going to have Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen on
Yeah.
it for the first time really ever, since the Jags went to the AFC title game? I'm not sold on Jacksonville
Yeah, welcome
as
to life as a division champ, right? Now for Jacksonville, you get that tough schedule the next year. So they're gonna learn how to live that life also. But I mean, Jacksonville is the easy pick to me to win the division. Now, if I'm laying money down, I'd like to see what the odds come out as, but Titans would be a good money pick if they're not the favorite to come bounce back and win the division, just based on all the injuries and everything that happened this year is why the only reason they didn't win it this year. But it's inarguable that the Jags are on the rise with Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson.
What'd you take away from Hendon Hooker?
That no one, I can think of few people more deserving of success than him at the NFL level. I love his story. I've obviously, watched his entire career at Tennessee, read a lot about him, and having a chance to meet him, he was as genuine as I expected. And I just think, it's good when guys like that have success. And I kind of joked with him about this. I said, the system quarterback label, that's going to follow you around. You put up insane stats the way you did, and people are going to point to, just like they did with Mike Leach quarterbacks for years. They're going to point to, well, yeah, but it's Josh Heupel's system, and they're not playing real football. It's like a fast break on grass, and you're not going to be able to do that in the NFL. But I kept watching him, and I'm thinking, what is there not to like? He's 6'4", 225 pounds. He moves well in the pocket. He doesn't abandon plays quickly. He can run when he needs to, and is a really good runner at times. He throws the ball with strength. He throws the ball accurately down the field. He's got good touch. There's not a lot to not like about Hendon Hooker, other than the fact that he's going to be 25, as a rookie, and he's coming off this injury. But he told us that he's going to be ready to go in training camp, so it's going to be a pretty fast recovery. He was walking around well. He had a huge brace on underneath his jeans, but he said he's doing well and walking around well. But every time I've seen him in an interview and watched his career and watched his story at Virginia Tech, what led him to Tennessee, the fact that he wasn't the starter, they brought in Joe Milton to start, and he stuck with it, and he won the job, and then he kept it. I'm just rooting for a success. I don't know what that means. I think optimistically, what, late first round would probably be the best that he's going to be drafted. Probably a second day pick, but I think he's a guy that's eventually going to have a chance. And I asked him about being a backup because that's the knock on Stetson Bennett. He didn't want to be a backup, and that's why he didn't want to go to the Senior Bowl, because a lot of people are going to ask him about how he would do as a backup and if he can be supportive of the starter and help and do all those things.
Stetson Bennett is not one of the 32 best
No,
quarterbacks
no,
to
no,
play.
no. Now, no, Hendon Hooker wasn't, foaming at the mouth to go be hold a clipboard.
Sure.
He wasn't saying, yeah, I think I'm going to have a really good career as a backup. He kind of answered in a way that said, well, I'm excited to go learn and do whatever I can to help and learn under someone for a little while if that's what's necessary, but not, I'm going to be a career backup.
What did you make of your conversation? Chad Withers with his Outkick 360 with Jalin Hyatt when you guys sat down with him, because Jalin Hyatt put up great stats, but I'm not sure like a lot of people know a lot about Jalin Hyatt.
Yeah, I mean, I first off, he's very small. He's not big. He's got long arms, but I mean, he's listed 6 feet. He's probably, maybe 5'11".
I saw Kyler Murray when I picked up my credential here. Kyler Murray was picking up his credential.
Yeah, you probably towered over him.
We're like the same height.
Yeah,
And I
nice.
mean, now he's listed at 5'10". I guess that's what he checked in at the combine. If he's 5'10", then I'm 5'10".
Yeah.
And I ain't 5'10".
No, he is definitely not 5'10". And again, I'm not sure that Jalin Hyatt's 6 feet, but I did ask him. I said, yeah, I'm going to go through some of the things that people have said about you or will say about you when they interview you. You're too small. You can't get off press coverage. What's your response? And he said, try to catch me. That's my response. Anyone says I'm too small. He claims that he wants to run a 4.29, a sub 4.340 at the combine is his goal. And he's actually here in Scottsdale. That's where he's living and training with his agent right now. So look, if he runs a 4.29, he's first round pick.
Oh,
There's
I think he's
no
a
doubt
first
about it.
round pick no matter what.
I think he's going to be two.
I wouldn't take him in the first round, but I think he will be picked in the first round.
He is going to impress a lot of people because everyone wants that burner. They want that Tyreek Hill type option. And they're going to see that in Jalin Hyatt. And you could not have a more productive season as a receiver than what he had this year winning the Biletnikoff Award. But he also told us, but we asked about NIL and how much he was set to make and what would have brought him back, with the money he could have made in that. And he said, if I thought I was going to be a second round pick, I would have come back. So in other words, Jared, to your point, if he thought that was even a possibility, then or likely he was going to come back for another year at Tennessee and, light up the scoreboard again, this time with Joe Milton throwing to him. But he clearly doesn't believe that. He's a first round pick. I didn't believe that at the end of the season, but I think again, 4.29, 40, he's going to be a first round pick.
Chad would throw Outkick 360 live here from the Super Bowl. It is funny. You said to me about 5 hours ago, you said, and this ballroom we're in here at the convention center, you said to me, you're like, by the time your show's wrapping up, it is going to be a ghost town in
Oh,
here.
yeah.
And it is legitimate. Like, it is, I feel like we're at the wedding reception after it's over and the lights come on, and like the party planners, they're
Yeah.
taking it down and they're setting up for the next wedding. And I mean, not
It's
that I'm complaining about it, but it is wild how you predicted it, because 5 hours ago, this place was, you couldn't even walk in here.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a like a 3 a.m. at the bar, a look around here with the lights coming on also because everyone around here by the end of the week looks haggard. They look like zombies. They're walking around. They're ready to either go home or get to their weekend here in Arizona. So yeah, I knew that it was going to be pretty sparse by the time you were wrapping up, Jared, and it's definitely delivered on that. Kudos to you, by the way, here by yourself doing everything. Getting your own guests, doing your show here. For as long as you do every day, that is not easy. So great job. Great
It
job doing that.
has been a week. We will continue along next. Good to see you, Chad.
Hey, it's both a marathon and a sprint at the at Radio Row at the Super Bowl. I always say that because you're sprinting through whatever tapings you're doing or trying to get on time for the next person, but yet you're here the all day,
Yes.
every day. So it's an absolute marathon too. Good seeing you, bud.
I will say this. I land, I think, at 1:40 tomorrow. I think I will be in bed at 2:40, and I don't think I get up
Yeah.
tomorrow.
See, that's the joy of not having kids. With two kids, I will be flying back Sunday and there will be no rest. I will get off that plane and I will be told to entertain the children for as long as it takes to lead up to the Super Bowl. Then I'll watch that. There'll be no stopping for me. So enjoy that. Enjoy that now.
Who's your pick in the game?
I'm going to go Eagles 27-24. They've been the best team in football all year. I think they proved that again. A prop bet that I like, AJ Brown to score the first points of the game is +900. I'm going to go AJ Brown scoring a touchdown to get the scoring started in this game, +900. But Eagles win 27-24.
Chad Withrow, we roll along from Radio Row, Stillman and Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman and Company live on Radio Row, brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. Joined now by Steve Gorman. I think a lot of people remember Steve Gorman. What was it, 11 years ago that you were right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game? It was.
It was less than that. I was on the game until the summer of 13. So it's going to be 10 years this summer since we moved on.
There you go. All right. Yeah. So then you go to Fox, and now you're in Minnesota with Cumulus at one of the – not only just one of the biggest stations in America, but one of the biggest shows in America, which is pretty super sweet, which we'll get to. But I want to start with this.
Yep.
Your thoughts right now on the Titans, your thoughts on Tannehill, your thoughts on where this organization is.
I think every team in the league should draft a quarterback every year, wherever you can. It's just what we're seeing is – You need to put people on the field to see who can actually do it, because you never know. And my thing on Tannehill, it's always been, I get frustrated like a fan, but then for the last few off seasons, I hear about what about Rodgers and what about him and what about him and what about him, and I'm like, well, we can lose playoff games with the guy we got. You know, if you're going to bring in a quarterback who's an absolute ringer, I want rings already won. Rodgers has one, but for considering who he is, what teams he's been on, I'm just like, well, there's no guarantee that there's another one coming. I'd be surprised, frankly, in any setting, if Aaron Rodgers ever did win another Super Bowl. He doesn't have that, you know, and it's funny. I look at Aaron Rodgers and I think I'd probably like hanging out with him more than the average quarterback. Mm-hmm. Because of it's different cat. You never know what's going to happen. I like interesting people, blah, blah, blah. But you know what I want my quarterback to be doing right now? Working on football 24 hours a day, every day of the damn year. I don't want him going to a dark house to find some insight.
I don't foresee Vrabel and Rodgers getting along.
I don't
if that
either.
Was the route that they would go. Even though they're friends, it's different when you're friends.
Yeah.
Than when you're, you know, I mean, look, you
of
were
course.
In the Black Crows for how many years? And it's different when you're together trying to work.
If you want to stay friends with someone, then stay friends with someone. If you want to work with someone, work with them. If it's very rare that you can jump into some intense situation with people you care about and not have that relationship greatly impacted, almost always for the worse. But that said, about Tannehill, I think he did really well for who he was and what he was, and it was a very pleasant surprise 3 years ago and 2 years ago to think he's the for the team we had. It could have happened. You know, we were a couple plays away from advancing every time.
Last year was the year,
without question. And it's okay in the moment. No one saw Cincinnati coming. They beat us. They beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead. They could have easily won that Super Bowl. And so that's the thing you tell yourself, which is, well, it was just the Bengals' year. But the truth is, that was the Titans' year. That was first and last play of the game. Tell the whole story.
And the middle interception as well, which
that was pretty rough. But, you know, opening and closing with a pick is no way to go through life, son.
Steve Gorman's with us. So if you were in charge, your options were to either go after Rodgers, stay with Tannehill, move to a similar style quarterback like Carr or, you know, Mayfield, like similar quarterback,
or
go young.
I would never put Mayfield and Carr in the same conversation. I think Derek Carr... He's had a different offensive coordinator basically every year. He's had no defense. I think in the right situation, he's way better than the average guy with his numbers. I think he's good.
But isn't Tannehill?
I think Derek. I would take right now. I would go if all things are even and I could hit a button. I would run Derek Carr out before Tannehill.
So I actually crunched the numbers on that. You know, they've both been in the league for about a decade. I think Carr has been. I think Carr's been in for 8, Tannehill's been in for 10.
Right.
They both had, you know, good players around them sometimes, bad players around them, good coaches, bad coaches. The quarterback rating, Carr is like 97.9 and Tannehill is like 98.8 or something like that. And so I'm like, okay, if I'm going to do this, like I just keep the guy I already have here that does that as opposed to pay the money for somebody else.
It's hard to – it's weird to say what I'm about to say, but Carr's had a more unstable situation in with the Raiders than we've had with the Titans as far as coordinators, coaches, you know. I mean, since Vrabel got here, there's been a lot of turnover like there is, but it's been a pretty steady culture. It's a very steady community. Derek Carr's been living through a soap opera since the minute he got drafted.
That is true.
And so I'm just saying, put him in a situation with the same coach and the same coordinator for 3 straight years, and I think you'd see some pretty great stuff out of him. He's not Mahomes. He's not Burrow. He's not, you know, he's not top shelf, but he's second shelf for sure to me.
How much?
And I don't know that Tannehill still is. And I've been a Tannehill guy. I'm just saying, at his age and injuries and blah, blah, I don't know. I don't know what's left.
How much would you say over the last 10 years, you know, since you were here?
Yeah.
How much would you say Nashville has changed as a sports town?
It's changed as an everything town. In so many ways, it's you know,
for the good or for the bad.
I moved to Nashville 18 years ago, 19 years ago. I moved to, in every way possible, a different town than it is now. There's nothing. I got here in 04. I thought, man, it's changed since I was hanging out here in the late 80s. But that 20 year shift was nothing like this last 20 years. As a sports town, you've got, I think, a very healthy influx of people from other sports towns that are raising the bar. It's not nearly as parochial as it used to be, but there's still pockets of that. But I think it's just like every other sector of the city. It's just changing rapidly. There's still a sense of who are we? Who are we trying to be? And are those two things ever going to be in lockstep? This is not me knocking on Nashville. This is what it is to be in a boom town. It's beautiful and a lot of ugly all at the same time. I know a lot of people who lost their independent businesses in the last 10 years because they got priced out with rent. They got priced out with all sorts of things. The places I like to hang out, a lot of them aren't there anymore. I'd rather spend a weekend in jail than on Lower Broadway. I mean, that is truly death on earth to me, is hanging out in those honky tonks on a weekend night. That's just me, but you know. But all this to say, I think it's fascinating. I got up to Minneapolis a month ago to start this job up there, and that's a city I've loved for over 30 years. It's a city, the Twin Cities, I should say, are two places that are, they're what they are, they've what they've been for a long time, and there's an energy in a city like that, not unlike Chicago. Chicago's not trying to impress anybody. It's just being Chicago. I was in Atlanta through the 90s when Atlanta was booming and trying to figure out who we are. No, really, we're awesome. No, really, we have the best airport. We're going to have the Olympics. Atlanta's great. We're a world city. And at this stage of the game, I go to Atlanta, and I'm like, well, by God, that's a world city. There's a lot of fascinating things happening here. There's a lot of pockets of people from around the world. And but when it's happening, it can be a little unsettling. And a little bit, it's a lot of gray area, and I think that's Nashville's right in the very middle of that right now. So, it's more just a vibe, it's a feel, it's a sense that you don't even notice till you go somewhere that's not doing that, and then you go, oh man, you know, Austin is at the tail end of it. Austin's just huge. It's never going to be what it used to be. It's never going to be as weird as it used to be. It just is its thing. It'll settle in. And then, you know, it's like there's an overcorrection in life, and then it balances out. And I think the boom cities, they boom, and it's a little weird, and it's a little unshaky, and everybody's constantly trying to put their best foot forward. You're selling the city every day to everybody, whether you know you are or not. And then eventually, one day, you're just like, I just live in Nashville. It speaks for itself. It is what it is. And it'll be awesome when it gets there, but it's not there yet.
What do you think about, Steve Gorman's with us, what do you think about when we're going to have one of these, when they build that new stadium? We assume if they build it, we're getting one of these. I don't know if we're going to get two.
They will.
But we're going to get one. What would you think about Nashville with this?
It'll be in the fast track. I think Nashville will get, it'll soon be right up there next to New Orleans, which is every 4 or 5 years. I think Nashville has a better chance to land regular Super Bowls than Las Vegas does.
Really?
Yeah, well, because the truth is, Vegas is far away, man. You know what? And when you have, you got Vegas East, essentially, in a lot of ways in Nashville right now. You've got a lot of people that look at Las Vegas and look at Nashville and go, no, I'd rather go to Nashville. Everybody thinks they know what's going on in Vegas, whether you do or not. Everyone knows. Vegas means one thing to everybody. It might be a different thing to people, but everybody has. People still look at Nashville like, well, you can do this, you can do that. I want to try this. I want to go there. I just think it's, and I think for a lot of reasons, Nashville's just, it's weird to say. I think once that stadium is built, and it will be, and once they have a Super Bowl there, and they will, they're going to be on the short list of repeats for sure.
Last thing for you, the Black Crowes, sports radio. You wrote a book. You did rock radio. And now you're hosting the premier morning show in Minneapolis every day. What was the decision behind going to Minneapolis and taking this job, and what's that been like?
It was pretty simple. I've been doing a syndicated classic rock show at night for 4 years with Cumulus Westwood One. KQRS is the station in Minnesota. It's one of the – it's as strong a rock station as there's ever been, and it maintains its relevance, and it's got a huge cultural footprint on that area. I've been aware of it since the first time I went to Minneapolis in 1990. I was thrilled when KQRS was one of my affiliates for the show at night. You know, just knowing I was on KQRS, that's one of those – I'm on all these stations, but man, I got KQRS. That's big. Mm-hmm. And so the KQ morning show has been a staple in that market for 40 years. And the host who'd been there for most of that 40 years, it was finishing up in December. And so, sometime in the fall, I got a call from the network saying, don't want to assume anything. No idea if you'd ever consider moving to Minneapolis, but we want you to go take over the morning show. And the first thing I said was, okay, when? It is one of the easiest decisions I've ever made in my life. Because I know what the station is. I know what that show is. I know what the potential is. Classic rock is a format that is like classic rock itself. It's not changing very quickly, but it's also never going away. Mm-hmm. You're constantly sort of updating. You know, classic rock now, you're looking at mid-90s. You know, that fits next to Led Zeppelin or AC/DC. And, I'm in a band that was really big in the mid-90s, and I'm a part of that scene, and I know a lot of there's a lot of connective tissue from me to a lot of the artists that are now finding their way into classic rock. I'm a good guy to bring the next generation of classic rock along, if you will. And so for a lot of reasons, they just looked at me and thought I'd be a good fit. I was beyond thrilled just because, like I said, a city I've always loved. I got a lot of friends there. And once the second – and, my wife and I have two kids. Once they're both in college, my daughter's a sophomore at school in Virginia. My son's up in Indiana.
See, that makes me feel old.
And it should make you feel old. We're all old, baby.
I'm old. I'm getting that Jewish man bald spot coming in.
It looks good, man. You wear it well.
Yeah. Steve Gorman, as always, joining us. Steve, thanks for stopping by here at Radio Row.
Pleasure, brother. Good to see you.
Always good to see you. More Stillman and Company live from Radio Row, presented by Social Furniture, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Stillman and Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let me tell you about Fireball Whiskey. It goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There's no better way to ignite your Super Bowl party than to do so with ice cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. That's right. I love Fireball Whiskey, and I know you will too. So be sure to have the drink everybody loves at your Super Bowl party. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Okay, Ian, let's get right to our final six-pack picks of the year. How did we do this season? I know we did poorly.
Let's see. Last week, Jared, 0-2. You got both the teams wrong. Excuse me. You went San Francisco and Cincinnati. That was incorrect. Caroline went Philly and Cincinnati. So 1-1. Season records, Jared, 56, 69, and 3. Caroline's season records, 63, 62, and 3. So pretty much right at 500 for Caroline. Yep.
Let's go right to it.
All right. We will start with some prop bets here. Before we get to the actual game, prop bet number one, over under on Mahomes passing yards, 294.5.
I will go over. I think that Mahomes, in order to win this game, is going to have to throw for probably 360. I think he'll, at a minimum, get 320. I'll go over on the passing yards for Mahomes.
I'm going to take the over on Mahomes passing yards. I don't see a path to a Chiefs victory if Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw for at least 300 yards. So I will take Mahomes over passing yards.
Okay, that moves on to the next one. Jalen Hurts passing yards over under 238.5.
I'm going to say over only because I think the under is such an obvious bet that I think he'll go over. I'm Sally ruling it here. I'm going to go with the over.
I'll take the over on Jalen Hurts passing yards as well. Although I don't think that the Philadelphia is its most successful with Jalen Hurts throwing the ball all around the yard. But I do think that you're going to see a lot of dinks and dunks from Jalen Hurts. That is going to add up to be around, the 240, 250 mark. So I'm going to take over, but just barely.
Okay, moving on. The last little quarterback prop here. Who will have more total touchdowns? That includes running and passing. Mahomes or Hurts?
Mahomes.
I'm going to take Jalen Hurts with more total touchdowns because I think that Jalen Hurts is going to be able to run it into the end zone. That's going to run up his touchdown total. In 7 of his last 9 games, Jalen Hurts has run it in for a touchdown. So I'm going to take Jalen Hurts to have more total touchdowns. And I think you're going to see a lot of passing touchdowns from Patrick Mahomes, to Travis Kelce. You might see an Isaiah Pacheco touchdown, but I think that it's going to be the Jalen Hurts show on Sunday.
Okay, now the big question here. Will A.J. Brown have a receiving touchdown? Or I guess it could be a rushing touchdown, over under 0.5. So will he have a touchdown?
Yes, I think he will. Corey Curtis said it's the perfect way to put the bow on a horrible season for the Titans. I say yes.
I don't think AJ is going to have a touchdown in this game. He's been pretty dormant all throughout the playoffs. He doesn't have more than 5 receptions throughout the playoffs in each individual game against the Giants and then again against the 49ers. So I'm going to go with the trend, although it would be so AJ to just ball out after being, kind of a non-factor over the past few weeks. But I'm going to say no on an AJ Brown touchdown.
Okay, the over-under on this game for the total is 51. What are we doing? Over-under 51 for this one.
What's Caroline got?
Over here. I think you're looking at 2 really good, high-powered offenses that can score a lot of points. In the same breath, these are also 2 really good defenses that can get to the quarterback better than any other teams in the National Football League. But I'll take the over 51. Life's too short to take the under.
Oh. Okay, I am going to take the over as well, which takes us to the game. Who does Caroline like in the game?
It is Philly -1.5.
Okay, I'm going to take Philadelphia -1.5. And I hate saying that because I always believe in coach and quarterback. Kansas City has the advantage with coach and quarterback. But I think Philadelphia is coming into this game so much healthier and so much fresher than the Chiefs are. And I think in a very evenly matched game like this, that could be all the difference. So give me Philly to win and cover.
I'm going to take Philly as well. I'm going to go Philly 31-27. I think your game's MVP is going to be Jalen Hurts because I think they usually give it to the quarterback of the other team. So I'm going to go 31-27. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. A great trip at Radio Row. Thanks to Social Furniture, Stillman & Company. Full reaction starts Monday at 2:00.